this marketing show today, we've got an awesome guest, Lisa Bragg from MediaFace, coming on. Now, just so you folks know, I've got two TV personalities here who might be the ultimate in storytelling. And before we go, if it's okay with Cheryl, I may tell a story of my own. Is that okay, Cheryl?
I haven't heard this story, so I'm warning everybody right now. I have no idea what you're about to say, but yeah, sure, go ahead.
It's not that good, so I'll underplay it. But Cheryl, storytelling, as we talk with customers, and I'm sure Lisa as well, is becoming more and more prevalent in terms of how people communicate their message. I'll talk a little bit about what sales teams, I think, are doing right now to differentiate themselves. But Cheryl, I know you had some thoughts on storytelling as we get going.
Yeah, so first of all, welcome. Thank you so much for joining us, Lisa. It's so good to see you again, even though it's virtually.
Happy to be here and happy to see you again, too, and meet Rick.
Yeah, so just to give the audience perspective, Lisa and I used to work together at a TV station. Lisa was a reporter, and I worked on the morning show, but now we're both sort of in the digital marketing agency world. MediaFace is the name of your company. She's the CEO there. And our topic today is storytelling. And when we say storytelling, and I know that's a huge component to what you do with your clients, how do you define storytelling when you talk to your customers?
Yeah, it's really talking and making sure that you're authentic and real and giving them information that they can use. So it's not about what you want to tell them. It's about how the audience, and we always talk about audiences, it's about what your audience needs to hear from you or wants to hear from you. So that's how we define stories. And then we often talk about the traditional story arc. So if everyone thinks about Star Wars, how that story goes, how do you make it a true story and not just some sort of communication or marketing push? So thinking about how a real story goes that you're going to watch on Netflix tonight. Think about that as you start to build out your own stories. Not that you have to have tragedy in it, but there has to be some sort of compelling message behind it.
Tragedy. We've had a few tragedies on this show, although we don't air them. But anyway.
There's a lot of big companies, there's a lot of big brands. Like, you know, I was thinking Microsoft, for example. They actually have a position there that's called Chief Storytelling Officer. So, you know, you've heard of CEO, CFO, and they have an S or CSO. So they recognize the value in being able to tell these stories as a brand. So for our customers, when we try to find a story, I say to them, okay, first of all, aside from product and service, which obviously is a huge part of your story, what is it that you're doing differently? So how are you making your customers feel because of your products and service? But also, what are you doing that's different than potentially your competition? Do you guys kind of follow like the same sort of strategy with that?
Yeah, because often people want to say in their messaging how we're better, 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 better. And it's not about being better. It's about being different. So finding those different markers that make you different. And you know what? You often don't even know what makes you different in the world because your company, you're so in your own little bubble. So how do you really take a step back and often bring in a consultant to say, what is different about our business, and help you find some of those story arcs? That's really the starting point. But it's starting with that you are different. And also, what is that origin story? Why did you start your business? Why did the founder 50 years start your business? Because it's those stories that really are what get you going. That's why you started it. And so that's often a place to start, is those founder stories. And then always talking about your people. There are so many great stories when you talk about your employees, and employee engagement storytelling is one of the best and easiest places to start to really build out your storytelling funnel for sure.
Lisa, what would be an example? Because I know Cheryl's a big proponent of what you just said, showcasing the stories around the people. What would be an example if I was watching right now and I wanted to showcase the people, you know, affiliated with my brand? You know, what might be an example of something someone could do?
Well, right away, you could start with your employees. So that's the given. But and doing anything that's an employee, maybe offering space where they're doing something for their own charity or what they're doing in the world. So you don't even have to have it directly part of your brand. It's what they're doing. So that's often a nice give back that I've had people do, clients we've counseled. But also easily featuring your customers in whatever you're doing. So if you're doing a newsletter, you talk to one of your clients, and it's not a testimonial. you're not doing a testimonial in this piece. What you're doing is you're giving them space in your newsletter to maybe reach some of their new people. So you're sharing your space, sharing your audience with somebody different. And so we all love to network, and it's an opportunity to do network storytelling. So bring them in and let them have the space. You're going to write it for them, or you're going to help write it so it's not more work on them, because everyone's taxed for time. But how can you bring them in and help share that story? And if you do get woven into the story, that's great, but it should be all about what your audience needs and what they can learn from your client, and not about you pushing that you did this great project together, yada yada yada, boring. It's about what they're doing for improving the world. So that would be the two quick tips. Audience, for sure, thinking about them every step of the way. What does your audience need to hear? Much more than what you need to push out.
I'm laughing because, like, literally Rick and I, these are the conversations that we have been having with customers and clients, and this is what we do every single day. So that's why it's nice to collaborate with other agencies that are potentially also talking about the same thing to their customers and clients.
Yeah, because you're bang on. It's what people need to do, because that's the difference of sharing information. And that's where you get to more of the storytelling than the marketing disguised as storytelling or content. So that's where a lot of brands, a lot of marketing companies have a hard time with truly developing great stories, because they're really trying to hide a marketing message in it. And it's not, you have to be really be thinking about your audience and the true stories first, and not the product and the sales message. So you have to really lead with that. What does my audience need to have and to, what they'll find valuable, versus I really want to sell this widget today. You know, is it the widget? You know, how did we make the widget? Sure, let's think about that. But we use sustainability projects. We did, you know, different things around it. So how do you really find the other stories than talking just about the widget? And that's often, people find things fascinating. Look at how often you watch, you know, the shows like How I Built This. Well, we'll listen to that one. But behind the scenes, all those going in a factory, people want to see that kind of stuff because there's a story to it. There's more revealing than just, here's the widget at the end, buy it, it's great, it does this for you. What's the background to the widget? What's the origin story of the widget? People love that stuff. I love it.
So Lisa, thank you for sharing that, because, you know, the reason I really wanted Cheryl to join our team is because, you know, you and Cheryl have a similar background, and that you guys get up in the morning when you're on TV and had no idea probably what story you were going to tell at the 6 o'clock news or whatever. And I just love that about, you know, the DNA you two share. At the same time, as the sales guy on the show here, we also gotta, you know, sell some stuff along the way. So this is where I crash the party, in case you haven't noticed yet. So, you know, I would say, you know, we've done over 1,000 live events. And I was saying this to Cheryl this morning, okay? Sales audiences come in, we run our sell to win events, a lot of role playing, et cetera. And people, when they come back to me after, you know, they don't remember necessarily the sales strategies I talked about. They always say, Rick, remember when you told us that story about this? And, you know, we've all heard the saying, it's not what you say, it's how you make them feel. So let me come back to those of you salespeople on the call right now, okay, that are thinking, storytelling, do I really need that? I got to move some stuff the next 30 days. Couple ideas, okay? I really like what Lisa said about engaging your customers. And one of the things I think sales reps don't do enough of is ask a customer, when a customer selects them, why they selected you, let's say, as the vendor, okay? Because that's pure information. I mean, you don't need a consultant, you don't need anybody else there. And take what the customer tells you as to why they selected you, and then convert that into a story. So when you talk to the next prospect that's looking at the alternatives, you might say, you know, I just talked to ABC, they're also a law firm or whatever their vertical is, and here are some things looking at alternatives that they found they were looking for, and they just happened to, you know, find those with us. So tell the story. It's just a sales methodology we suggest, using references to tie in your story. And a lot of sales teams, if you're a sales leader right now and you're on Zoom in the mornings, whatever you're doing, here's an exercise that I think would be kind of interesting, is if you asked each of your sales reps cold to tell a story about your product or service, whatever you sell, in less than a minute, okay, ideally, because I think attention spans are shorter, but use a customer story. In other words, what was the problem this customer had that's relevant to the target? What was the problem they had? What's the solution that your company provided? And then what were the business outcomes that they achieved? And the less you can say your company name in that story, the better. Now, we do that drill in our live events, and people always get choked up. They want to say, and at such and such, you know, we do that. So the less you can say your company name, I think, in this story, the better off you are. Anyway, so kudos to you on what you're saying there, Lisa.
Yeah, I think I can help on that too. So what I would suggest is thinking about, in our language in TV news, it was the T's. So when you watch, before you watch a news program, or even before you watch anything, there's the trailer or the T's that really whets the appetite. So we call that, you would call that maybe the hook. So you want to give them a reason why they want to listen to your story. So you'd have that off the top. And then you're going to give them the story. And the story is really about the emotions, thinking about how the buyer advantage, thinking about the audience. So what was the story in there? So hook, story, and then your call to action. What was it? What do you want them to do next? Because people often don't know. And so even in TV news, back in my day, we used to do a formula of that where we'd have, here's the hook, here's the story, and here's the close, because we do want you to do a call to action. So what is it that we want you to do? In news, it might have been, we want you to donate to the hospital, or somebody wants someone to donate to the hospital, because news is neutral, but somebody wanted somebody to do something. And so we'd include that in there, because it would be for the bigger good. So in a sales position, I would think of hook, story, close, call to CTA through that. And then I think that would help positioning with stories more. So we do need to have sales for sure. It's nice to have stories, but stories will move sales as long as you're doing it in an authentic way and you're earning trust. So if we're often just really pushing out sales messages, we have to think, are we earning trust? In this era, we have to earn trust. And it's not build trust, it's earn trust every single day with all of our clients, customers, and prospects. It's about earning trust. And the best way to do that is through authentic storytelling. And definitely we need a close at the end. We can't just tell lovely little stories, but it just moves people to be more emotionally engaged with you. And as you said, when they're more emotionally engaged with you, they're more likely to buy because they have a relationship. It still goes back to relationships.
I say sometimes when Rick's not in the room, sell less to sell more.
Yeah.
I say sell less with whatever it is that you're trying to communicate and you will sell more. If you just don't think about selling and you think about being authentic. And I also use two words all the time, which is human connection. How can you connect as a human to another human instead of like taking out like the business aspect a little bit and remembering that these are people interacting with other people. So it's human connection.
It's always humans to humans. No matter what you're doing, we are humans having a human experience. So we need to make sure that connection is always there for people. It's about thinking about what they need more so than what you need at all times. And it's figuring out if you are a leader or a helper. Those are really the positions that you're always in. So how are you leading? By giving fresh new information, or are you helping them and by giving them something that you know they already need? So if you always think about your audience first, you're going to win. You will win because you're being human-centric. And that's the key to storytelling. And Rick, I think you're the sales expert, but it's also the key to more sales is by being human to human and being authentic, real. Let's be real people.
And knowing that we don't have a lot of time left, and Rick, you want to tell a story before we go?
Can you do that? Hey, let's hear it. Bring it on.
Let's go.
This is like a bad introduction. It's like when you say, hey, I got a good joke to tell, and there's a high expectation. Thank you for that handoff, Cheryl.
There you go.
We just won a deal against a big agency, okay? And I think what they were looking for was a lot of things that you two talked about today, the authenticity, and really it's the people behind, the technology they can get from anywhere, right? But it's the story. And so when we met with the customer, I was saying to them, look, have you guys ever heard the story about the young archer? And they said, no. And I introduced this story right in the middle of the conversation. And I said, okay, well, it's a young archer, and he heard about this great veteran, an older guy that hit the bullseye every time. And he sought this old man down, and he went, this guy had lived in an old farmhouse, and he was walking up the guy's long laneway. And as he walked up, he saw on the side of the barn, like, all these bullseyes with an arrow right in the red spot every time. He couldn't believe it. So as he got up to the old man's house, he knocked on the door, and this old guy opened the door, and he said, sir, I need to know your secret. Like, how do you hit the bullseye every time? And the old man said, it's easy. I'll show you. And so the old man walked out, took the young archer's bow and arrow. He let one fly, boom, and hit the side of the barn, nowhere near a bullseye. The young guy said, I don't get it. The old man said, well, wait a second. I'll show you how I do it. And the old man walked up with a can of red spray paint, and he painted a hole right around where the arrow was. The moral of the story is, what you see sometimes is not really what it is. And that's why I challenge the customer in this case to go a little further beyond what they might see in terms of actually how we would implement things, et cetera. But it's funny, after the customer selected us, they said, you know, I used that story a couple times in our staff meetings about our product. So storytelling to me has to be a lot of times entertaining a little bit, I think, as well, and memorable. And as you said earlier, Lisa, have a stinking point to what you're saying. Okay, this, you know. So anyway, you set me up for that, Cheryl, so I told it. Was that okay?
That was great. My 9-year-old was sitting there waiting for the ending the entire time that you were telling the story. Good job. You're a great storyteller, Rick. Thank you. And Lisa, thank you so much for your time, and really appreciate all of your insight and being able to collaborate in this way. And it'd be great to do it again someday for sure.
Yeah, that'd be great. So, and if anyone wants to follow me, I'm Lisa Bragg on LinkedIn. So with MediaFace, and so you can find me there. So that'd be great. So nice to see you both. Stay well. Thank you.
Well, good thank story. You very much, Lisa. Great job.
Yeah, for sure. And don't forget, if anyone has any comments, questions, concerns about anything they see on the show or any ideas for future shows, you can email us engage@intocommunications.com. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share, and we'll see you next week.